Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, September 29th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's a look at what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, Barack Obama has turned Vladimir Putin into the most powerful leader in the world. Documents obtained by Judicial Watch reveal that the Obama administration gave more than 1,500 terrorists asylum in the U.S. last year. Meanwhile, the Washington Times is reporting that terrorists are planning a nuclear tsunami, and the United States is drastically underestimating the power of ISIS.
There is no room for accommodating an apocalyptic cult like ISIS. And the United States makes no apology for using our military as part of a broad coalition to go after them.
Plus, disturbing news from the state of Washington, as girls as young as 10 years old have been implanted with birth control devices. All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
Well, Drudge is calling this the New World Order. Obama has officially turned Putin into the world's superpower. Putin is now taking the lead in the terror fight. Now, this, of course, this baton was transferred on Monday. And President Obama, he was kind of espousing the United Nations ideals from 70 years ago. Diplomacy and international order will win over time. Might and force will lose. Now, Putin, on the other hand, used his speech to announce the formation of a broad international coalition to fight ISIS in Syria and Iraq. And, of course, we know who his ally is there. He's saying no one but President Bashar Assad, his armed forces, as well as the Kurds, are actually fighting the Islamic State. Now, Obama is, of course, that's counter to his view. He says he opposes the logic of supporting tyrants. After all, Assad drops barrel bombs on innocent children. And of course, he made no mention of the bombs that he has dropped on innocent children in Pakistan. Of course, no mention of the innocent children who have been bombed in Gaza. And of course, he did not mention the fact that, yeah, he might not want to support a tyrant, but he is actively supporting these moderate rebels who then, of course, turn over and pledge their allegiance to ISIS. So he's helping to foment the unrest in the region there. But, of course, that was not mentioned at the UN. Now, Putin, of course, has troops in Syria. He's arming Assad to the teeth and has signed a pact of anti-ISIS intelligence sharing with Assad, Iran, and the leaders of Iraq, which, of course, the United States really fought to put those people in power, and now they are aligning themselves with Putin. So, meanwhile, if Obama has any serious plan for Syria, he certainly didn't mention it there at the UN or any other time for that matter. But now, of course, the Daily Beast is reporting that President Selfie Stick does have a plan. He's going to use Snapchat in the fight against ISIS. U.S. turns to Zero Dark 30 writer for anti-ISIS propaganda. The State Department says it's losing the information war to ISIS and is tapping HBO, Snapchat, and a screenwriter with deep CIA connections to help turn things around. Now, this is according to a State Department official who spoke with the Daily Beast. He said U.S. filmmakers and social media folks met with a bunch of international and regional filmmakers and broadcasters, and they had people who were at the top of their field. Their goal was to continue the dialogue that was started at the White House summit. Now, we reported on this earlier. this year as well as last year, just talking to you about how the White House is going to be working with these large factions in Hollywood, actually actively propagating to people. We know that they're giving scriptwriters actual elements to put in your TV programs to push the president's agenda. Well, now this is going to a more global scale. So one of the goals, they say, was to connect Middle Eastern filmmakers with influential Hollywood figures so they could start plotting how to engage and empower storytellers to create alternative and positive narratives and how to talk about youth empowerment. So they're basically going to be countering all of ISIS's propaganda videos where they're showing the amazing life of a jihadi there and how great it is. And you can have all of these, you know, young virgins and things like that and blow things up. So they're going to counter that and show ISIS how wonderful, you know, how wonderful it could be. Don't join ISIS. Here you could have a job, you know, creating an NGO or something like that. Now they talk about in the past, they've attempted these sorts of things as well, just to fly around a bunch of Hollywood writers and producers for about a week. Was about $4 million. And of course, other recent attempts that they've tried at this have failed. They have, the State Department has tried trolling terrorists on its own Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and online message boards. But of course, the results have been very unimpressive. And, you know, you read things like this, and then you wonder, is that really the objective there, to fight ISIS? You're dropping them weapons in the region. Now you're going to use Snapchat to counter their propaganda. Oh, and then look at this report coming out today. Obama gave over 1,500 terrorists asylum in the U.S. Now, this is according to documents that were obtained by Judicial Watch, and they reveal that the Obama administration gave as many as 1,519 terrorists asylum in the U.S. in 2014. They changed a law allowing these, kind of waiving these, to allow the foreigners who are engaged in terrorism because they say the crimes were committed while under duress. So this data was obtained from the DHS and the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service, and it reveals that more than 50% of those who were rewarded residency provided material support to terrorist organizations. The others received military-type training from a terrorist organization, voluntarily provided medical care to members of a terrorist group, and they solicited funds or individuals for membership in a terrorist organization. So, in other words, there was a federal law that had zero tolerance for any kind of involvement with terrorist elements, and then the Obama administration, joint effort by DHS and the State Department, created a waiver, an exercise in authority, so that they could decide, you know, the government could say, oh, you know, these guys don't pose a threat, we'll go ahead and let them in. You know, just like they thought the Tsarnaevs didn't pose a threat, even though they were on the FBI's radar. And of course, they went on to carry out the Boston bombings. So doesn't that make you feel so much safer with a president's selfie stick and, you know, his Snapchat account? And he just can't wait to go hang out with his Hollywood bigwigs after he is no longer the president. ISIS, meanwhile, is planning a nuclear tsunami. Now, this is according to a German reporter who was one of the only people who was able to successfully embed themselves with the Islamic State. He was there with the group for about 10 days, and he writes about this in his new book titled Inside IS, 10 Days in the Islamic State. And he says, nuclear annihilation across the globe. He says, the terrorists plan on killing several hundred million people. The West is drastically underestimating the power of ISIS. ISIS intends to get its hands on nuclear weapons, and he calls the group a nuclear tsunami, preparing the largest religious cleansing in history. And of course, with this Iran nuclear deal, these Middle Eastern states who are opposed to Iran possibly getting nukes and lifting sanctions, there is basically going to be an arms race in the region for people to be able to have nukes of their own. Talk about devastation, World War III. Good job, Obama.
Now let's go to Obama warning of the apocalypse of jihad, and out of this crisis they will bring in their world government. Here it is.
When a dictator slaughters tens of thousands of his own people, that is not just a matter of one nation's internal affairs. It breeds human suffering on an order of magnitude that affects us all. Likewise, when a terrorist group beheads captives, slaughters the innocent, and enslaves women...
Oh, he's all behind all of it.
It's not a single nation's national security problem. That is an assault on all our humanity.
Total evil. Totally behind it, and then acts like he's against it. That's Emperor Palpatine level.
I've said before, and I will repeat, there is no room for accommodating an apocalyptic cult like ISIL. And the United States makes no apology for using our military as part of a broad coalition to go after them.
Oh, I can't listen
to
this.
We do so with a determination to ensure that there will never be a safe haven for terrorists who carry out these crimes.
Of course, they're creating a safe haven out of
part
of Iraq.
We have demonstrated over more than a decade of relentless pursuit
and out of
Al-Qaeda.
Syria.
We will not be outlasted by extremists.
Oh, no. Just totally empowering them 14 years after 9/11.
On January 7, 2014, in an interview conducted by David Remnick of The New Yorker, President Obama flippantly referred to the acceleration of ISIS, stating, "The analogy we use around here sometimes, and I think is accurate, is if a JV team puts on Lakers uniforms, that doesn't make them Kobe Bryant." This remark epitomizes the aloof culture in Washington to a growing reality now expanding into Europe and quietly lurking within the United States. However, we should be so lucky if Obama's comments were just careless rhetoric. The explosive report that more than 50 Defense Intelligence Agency analysts had their data embellished by CENTCOM is now being investigated by Congress. A record number of Americans, according to a new Gallup poll, believe is riddled with corruption. And while Rome burns, German journalist Jürgen Todenhofer has revealed that the terrorists plan on killing several hundred million people. The West is drastically underestimating the power of ISIS. ISIS intends to get its hands on nuclear weapons, said Todenhofer, calling the group a nuclear tsunami preparing the largest religious cleansing in history. They now control land greater in size than the United Kingdom and are supported by an almost ecstatic enthusiasm, the like of which I've never encountered before in a war zone. Every day, hundreds of willing fighters from all over the world come. They are the most brutal and most dangerous enemy I have ever seen in my life. I don't see anyone who has a real chance to stop them. Only Arabs can stop the Islamic State. I came back very pessimistic. Todenhofer spent 10 intense days chauffeured around the front lines by the UK's notorious Jihadi John. His bone-chilling book, Inside IS, 10 Days in the Islamic State, exposes an accurate depiction of a group at the very least allowed to grow on Obama's watch, hell-bent on nuclear devastation.
Russia's actions are a problem. They don't pose the number one national security threat to the United States. I continue to be much more concerned when it comes to our security with the prospect of a nuclear weapon going off in Manhattan.
It was India's defense minister, Rao Inderjit Singh, sounding alarm bells back in May of 2015 that ISIS could acquire its first nuclear weapon from corrupt Pakistani officials, confirming a threat ISIS had made in its propaganda magazine, Dabiq. Now, in what appears to be a lost Twilight Zone episode, Russia's Vladimir Putin is stepping up to fight Obama's JV team, ISIS. The Boston Herald's utterly weak Obama emasculated by Putin states, "Putin kicked sand in Obama's face yesterday by announcing Russia has formed an ISIS intelligence sharing pact with Iran, Syria, and surprisingly enough, our ally, Iraq, without America's involvement or consent."
We're told that such retrenchment is required to beat back disorder, that it's the only way to stamp out terrorism or prevent foreign meddling. In accordance with this logic, we should support tyrants like Bashar al-Assad, who drops barrel bombs to massacre innocent children, because the alternative is surely worse.
I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
Putin has doubled down on protecting Syria and fighting the invasion of another victim of the globalist puppet Obama's insatiable appetite to destabilize the region. As Libya and Egypt disintegrate into chaos. John Bound for Infowars.com.
Well, we told you how last week Facebook was censoring one of our articles on the Pope kid being nothing more than a PR stunt. Well, Turns out that is exactly true. Facebook is actively censoring posts that are anti-immigration. Now, Mark Zuckerberg was caught on a hot mic saying that Facebook will censor anti-migrant posts. Now, he was discussing the censorship of anti-migrant posts at the United Nations Development Summit on Saturday. He was speaking with the German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Now, Merkel confronted Zuckerberg on these social media posts that were critical of the wave of Syrian refugees entering Germany. And after he was asked about Facebook's efforts to curtail speech, Zuckerberg stated, "We need to do some work," confirming that he'd already started looking at ways to hinder comments in opposition to Merkel's immigration stance. She said, "Are you working on this?" "Yeah." And so then, of course, at that point, their microphone was cut. So in response to this shocking revelation caught on a hot mic, media outlets like Bloomberg immediately leapt to the defense of Facebook, insinuating that any critique of the German government's response to this migrant crisis would be racist and xenophobic. And indeed, that's exactly the same sort of rhetoric we're hearing there in Germany, this xenophobia. If anyone posts this, they're saying that Germans could actually have their children snatched from them if they post anything on Facebook of the sort. Opposing influx of refugees puts people at risk of being fired as well. And this is according to the German Lawyers Association. And it was written in an article entitled "Racism and Parenting: Threatening Loss of Custody," and it outlined the conditions under which xenophobic Facebook posts could lead to parents being targeted. So this is the issue with an all-seeing government. No thoughts are allowed that are not part of the collective, that are not going to further the agenda of the state. That's the big issue with having your every move tracked by the government. But you know what? It's no better over here. Let's take a look at what's going on in our schools. States using taxpayer funds to implant 10-year-olds with birth control. You heard it right. And there's actually no parental consent that is needed. So this is taxpayers in the state of Washington funding this disturbing practice of fitting extremely young public school girls with implantable, long-lasting birth control devices. And this is according to documents that were obtained by Judicial Watch. And these IUD implants are being administered at school-based clinics. So no wonder trust in the mainstream media has hit rock bottom, and a record number of Americans now believe Congress is corrupt, and specifically their own member of Congress, because people realize we are all being controlled by corrupt evildoers.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
I want more candy. I want more video games. Why, why, why?
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula
formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
Is a protest, and this is a riot. If you can't tell the difference, then you are part of the problem. InfoWars.com.
I have a dream.
Well, a lot of people were very excited with the Pope's visit last week, but some people were not so thrilled, and that would be the survivors of sexual abuse there, not only with the Catholic Church, but other victims of sexual abuse by the clergy. Now, a lot of stories coming out last week with the Pope actually meeting victims of sexual abuse. He met with some survivors on Sunday at a seminary just outside there in Philly, and he met with about five individuals who had been sexually abused when they were minors, three women and two men. They were not named. Now, Pope Francis said, "I am deeply sorry for the times when you or your family spoke out to report the abuse, but you were not heard." And he also went on to say, "God weeps for sexual abuse of children." And it goes on to say that those who have survived this abuse have become heralds of mercy. We owe them our gratitude. But this really was not doing it for these victims of sexual abuse. Obviously, they're, you know, thankful for that apology, but it hasn't gone far enough. They're saying, "I challenge the Pope to name a single step he's taken to actually do something about it." In 2014, he was quoted as saying that 2% of the Catholic clergy are pedophiles. So that's about 8,000 members that are still there being protected by statute of limitations that allows them to continue this abuse. So now we spoke with some members of SNAP, which is an organization that works to help survivors of this institutional sexual abuse. Now, this includes the Boy Scouts of America. This includes survivors from like the Penn State scandal, as well as many other church groups. It's not just the Catholic Church where these types of things are going on, but they want to work to expose the predators and those who shield them. And of course, that was something that we really didn't hear about here with the Pope's visit. Maybe here at InfoWars, you heard about that. But, you know, that was really all that the Pope did to address these victims. Now, we spoke with Barbara Doris. She's the SNAP outreach director, and she is herself a survivor of childhood clergy abuse. And she is calling for reform. She's saying the statute of limitation laws stand in the way of justice. They need to repeal these laws so that child sex victims can expose these priests and others, but the Catholic Church is fighting tooth and nail against these bills. And indeed, she's calling out the Pope himself, saying, what are you really doing to help these victims? Because they don't need healing. They need justice.
I'm Barbara Doris, D-O-R-R-I-S, and I'm the Victims Outreach Director for SNAP. SNAP is Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. It was founded in Chicago in 1988, and at that point, the founder, Barbara Blaine, thought there were a few dozen clergy sex abuse survivors, and she was reaching out to them. Well, through the years, we've grown to 22,000 members. We have members in almost every country in the world. We no longer just have members that were abused by priests. We have members from the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Mennonites, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Boy Scouts, from teachers, from places like Penn State. And we've just welcomed anyone who suffered abuse in an institutional setting and tried to offer them resources, offer them peer support, and to protect children. 95% of SNAP is peer support groups. It is helping victims find resources, helping them understand they're not alone. And then there's that 5% you always see, and those are the activists, people who are out trying to get laws changed, trying to raise awareness. So we're a mixed bag. And I think most of us come to SNAP. Most of us come to SNAP because we want to protect others. Protecting others is healing for us, and it's certainly what brought me to SNAP. I was abused by a priest as a child, but as a teacher in my parish grade school, I caught the associate pastor in the act of molesting a child. I know he's been caught 4 times, and yet he's still in a parish today. And I came to SNAP because nothing I could do would get him arrested, would get him removed, would in any way protect kids. So SNAP to me has been life-saving because it helps me protect others, and that's really helped me move forward. I'm about 6 years old in this picture, and that was the first time I was raped.
I'm Becky Iani, and I'm the Washington, D.C. and Virginia SNAP director. I came to SNAP because I was abused as a child from the ages of 9 to 11 by a priest in Alexandria, Virginia, who was a newly ordained priest, and he came to our house, and he kind of adopted our family. You know, he ate dinner with us, he went on vacation with us. He became like a member of the family, and I loved him, and I adored him. And he used that to start abusing me. And I didn't tell anyone until the age of 48, because he told me I'd go to hell, and also because I was raised Catholic. And the nuns had told me that he was sent by God. And so I thought he was sent by God to punish me, and that I was a bad person, that I was a dirty little girl. And so I never told anyone until the age of 48. So when I finally told my husband, I had all these mixed emotions. I felt guilty for telling on a priest. You know, I was crying all the time. And so I decided to go to the church. And I thought, they're gonna help me. They're gonna be compassionate. They're gonna make me feel better. And so I went to the church, and the first priest I spoke to, I cried for over an hour telling him my story. And I told him that I felt like I was going to hell, and that I didn't think God loved me anymore, and that this was my fault, and I was a bad person. And at the end of that meeting, I didn't get any reassurances from him. And I felt so abandoned that I pulled away from the church, and I also pulled away from God. And at that point, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was crying. I didn't want to live anymore. I thought, you know, I don't have the church. I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody telling me that I'm okay. So another victim of my perpetrator suggested that I call David Glahesi at SNAP. At the time, I think it was the executive director. And he listened to me for over an hour. And everything I said, he said, oh, yes. That's okay. I felt that way too. And for the first time, I felt normal. I felt compassion. I felt that somebody cared. And so at that point, I started going to support groups. And then as I began to heal, I wanted to be that person on the other end of the line for someone else, because I felt like David, you know, he and my family saved my life. They changed the direction of my life, and so did SNAP. Gave me a confidence I never had. I felt like a good person. I wanted to do that for someone else. So that's kind of how I came to be a leader in SNAP. This Pope has done what Pope Benedict does. He said a lot of things. You know, he said, we're not going to tolerate bishops abusing. We're not going to tolerate priests abusing. That how sad he is that victims were abused and that children were harmed. But the key word is he said. And, you know, he needs to do. And that's the thing I think we're missing. You know, it's one thing for him to say, we're not going to tolerate bishops who cover up abuse. But what happened? Bishop Finn, who was convicted of endangering children and in Kansas City, and he couldn't even teach CCD in his own diocese, but yet for 2 years he remained the bishop. And when he did resign, it was quietly. No one said he resigned because he endangered children. He got to keep his title, his honors, so that doesn't act as a deterrent to any other bishop. You know, you abuse, it's okay. You can go ahead and keep your honors and so forth. And you know, what kind of answer is that for protecting children?
The Archbishop, during the last grand jury investigation, and there have been two here in Philadelphia, Justin Regali, when the grand jury report was handed down, I believe there were 37 predators still in ministry. And through the grand jury and the trials of Monsignor Lynn, who was convicted of knowingly moving child predators and endangering children, and he is in prison for that part he played. But Cardinal Regali quietly resigned. He's living a life completely. He hasn't lost his title, hasn't lost his paycheck. And this weekend, we've noticed him in the front pew here at all the festivities. He's being honored, and yet he left in disgrace. So to us, the message is, if you protect the predators, if you keep the church's secret, if you keep the lid on the scandal, you'll be rewarded, not you'll be held accountable. So how do you take the Pope's words of children are important, the families are everything, and then square that with, well, if you protect the predators who are raping the kids, it's okay.
So these two brave women followed the Pope around from three cities trying to get his attention, trying to get him to address the issue of sexual abuse. You can see them there, Becky Ioni and Barbara Doris. Now, these ladies were very brave, and they are wanting the Pope to actually do something about this. They're saying literally countless kids are now vulnerable to abuse by clerics. Today, we need to lift these statute of limitation laws that are allowing this to go on, stop protecting people and putting them in a VIP section during your visit. Now, we're going to conclude the rest of this hard-hitting interview right after a quick break.
I might as well just...
Show your disapproval for Hillary Clinton. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt today at the InfoWars store. Hurry up, because these things are selling out faster than Hillary Clinton.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
I'm running for president. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, and I hope you'll join me on this journey.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Something is wrong. We're getting one message here, but we're getting actions over here that don't go along with the message. The Catholic Church admits there's about 6,500 credibly accused priests in the United States alone. We did some math, and the Catholic Church also in 2012 said they believed there were about 100,000 clergy abuse victims in the United States. And if you do the math of the United States is 6% of the world's population, that would give you 1.5 million clergy abuse victims in the world. And we feel that's a very underreported number.
As far as taking action against any bishop, and he hasn't taken action against any bishop. There's been bishops that have resigned, but they haven't been forced to resign. They haven't been publicly demoted. And so, you know, what does that say to the victims that were under that bishop? You don't matter. And what does that say? You know, as a victim, the thing that we need most to heal is to know that another child won't go through what we went through. And so we need the bishop. We need a courageous bishop. You know, in one of his statements, he said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But we need a bishop. I mean, we need a pope who's going to tell the bishops what to do. We need a pope who's going to tell the bishops, you have to post on your websites the names of every priest that's been credibly accused. You have to work towards child safety laws instead of lobbying against them. You have to turn over all records to secular authorities instead of fighting those. Those would make bishops courageous. But we haven't seen that happen.
This is what we're saying to the Pope. You should be telling these bishops, you get out from behind that desk, you find those secret archives, and you turn them over to the police. It hasn't happened yet.
Because, you know, the Pope's not taking action, one thing we want to have happen is we'd like the federal government to take action. We'd like them to investigate these crimes. We've seen that happen in Australia, in Belgium, in Ireland, in Canada. And so we'd like to see the federal government investigate these crimes and make the Pope release these documents like everyone else has done.
This is not a problem of the past. You should not believe your children are safe. It is important to be vigilant, to be very careful, to watch for signs of grooming. We say to Catholics, please donate elsewhere until the Pope actually takes actions that make kids safer today than they were before. Grooming is what a predator often does, not only with a child, but with the family. He ingratiates himself, and you have to remember that child predators aren't the dirty old men hiding in the bushes. Child predators are charming. They're charismatic. They do many, many good things, and they help many kids. But that doesn't mean they're not raping other children. So you can't paint a predator as black or white. And you have to be careful. Grooming is when the parents begin to trust him. Oh, he drove Johnny to soccer practice and everything was fine. He took Mary. Mary went and helped him clean the church. Everything was fine. And this can go on for a period of a year or more or longer while they gain the trust. So the parents say, yeah, you know, Mary's been going with him or Johnny's been going with him for years and all is fine. But it isn't all fine. And you need to talk to your children. You need to ask them those questions time and time again. Has anyone ever hurt you? And the message should be, I will help you. I will believe you. There is help. You're not alone. And you have to keep talking to your children. And to anybody who has been harmed, I'd say, please, please tell someone. Tell a therapist. Tell a good friend. Call a support group like SNAP. You're not alone. Help's available. And as bad as it is now, it will get better. Please, please don't carry this secret alone.
50% of our members are female. Oh, wow. I think maybe the press, it seems more horrible that when a boy is abused, but just as many girls are abused. And one thing I wanted to add to what Barbara said about protecting your children, you know, a good way to do that is when there's an article about sex abuse, talk to your child about it. Bring it up. Say, well, I'm really glad that victim came forward. That was a smart thing to do. It's really hard for kids to come forward, so we want to create a safe environment where they know it's okay to come forward and that this is a subject that is okay to talk about. I often think if I had a goal with sex abuse, it would be that it would become so common. Like, you know, when a little child scrapes their knee, they run home to mom and they say, look, I scraped my knee, and the mom takes care of it. If someone's sexually abused, I want that child to say, I can go home to mom or dad, and I can tell them because they'll take care of it. But when it's such a taboo and nobody talks about it, it's hard for that child because they think, I can't tell because this is a subject we don't talk about. So the more we talk about, the more we educate parents, the more we educate the public, and educating our kids, the better off they'll be and the safer they'll be.
I think the number is less than 2% of pedophiles are convicted. And it's because of the statute of limitations. And the government's research says anyone who sexually abuses a child doesn't come forward till they're in their mid to late 40s. So in most states, then they are beyond the statute of limitations and the predator is free to go on and abuse again. The Department of Justice needs to put in incentives out there for states to change the statute of limitation, or better yet, abolish it, so that, you know, you can't hide behind the statute of limitations. And the church has certainly hid behind the statute of limitations when reforms have come up. And right now there's a bill before the New York legislature, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C., all the places the Pope has been. And the only opposition they're facing is the Catholic Church. So the Pope could say, bishops, you may not oppose these law reforms that will make it easier for victims to come forward. And not only that, you should be fighting for them, not against them.
When we changed the statute of limitations in Virginia and we were testifying, the only person that came and showed up was the chancellor of the diocese speaking out against changing it. He did some research and he decided that the average statute of limitations was 7 years past the age of majority. So he was okay with that. And he said, you know, that's what they would be okay if Virginia changed that. I believe in one of the interviews, they asked, was it Coyne? Bishop Coyne?
I think so. Or Kurtz. I can't remember.
I think it was Bishop Coyne. They asked him something about, well, why are you fighting the statute of limitations? And he said something to the effect, because I need to protect my priest. And I'm not sure what that means. I mean, protect them from what? Isn't it the children we should protect? And they often talk about, well, we don't want to change the statute of limitations because memories are faded and this and so forth. But, you know, when you change the statute of limitations, you don't change the burden of proof. You still have to prove that someone's guilty. And don't victims deserve a chance at justice?
In many states, the registries of the sex offenders are not funded. So in other words, if I am convicted and I have to go and register, I say I live at X place and I work at X place. No one checks. They have no funding for it. So it's sort of, it gives a false sense of security. Again, if they do by some chance figure out you're not where they say you are, all they do is mark you as non-compliant. So it isn't the protection you think it is. And we feel that reforming the statute of limitations and allowing these crimes to be prosecuted, or creating a civil window where the civil cases go forward based on merit as opposed to being time barred, are far more effective tools to protecting children than the sexual registries are.
And if they can't be convicted because of the statute of limitations, and they say get defrocked, and someone goes, well, he's defrocked. But the problem with being defrocked means that no one knows where they are. And, you know, we had a case in Virginia where someone was part of the New York grand jury, and 12 kids testified he abused them. Well, then he was allowed to resign. He ended up in Virginia, unsuspectingly, living in a trailer park where kids were going in and out of his trailer. And so, you know, that's frightening to me. It's frightening that these priests can disappear, and then they live in communities where no one knows where they are. And, you know, parents can't take precautions from what they don't know.
In four states, they have created what they call the civil window. There is one in Hawaii. There's been one in Delaware, one in California, and one in Minnesota. The one in Minnesota and the one in Hawaii are both still open. What it allows to do is any victim of child sex crimes, by a priest or anyone else, has a certain amount of time, and like the window in Minnesota is 3 years, to come forward and file a civil lawsuit. And then, you know, the burden of proof is still on the victim. But those windows allow predators' names to be made public so that the community is warned. You have no idea who's living in your community. And many times there's multiple allegations and quite a lot of proof. And at least that gives the community some warning, some way to protect the children.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
There you have it. Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
And welcome back. Now, fresh off the heels of the UN General Assembly, the consensus is sort of that the president of the United States has effectively turned Putin into the world's new most powerful leader. Putin, of course, is taking the lead in the fight against ISIS. Meanwhile, the president says he's going to be enlisting the help of Snapchat to fight these terrorists. ISIS, meanwhile, is apparently planning a nuclear tsunami. And here with more on that, joining me is Joe Biggs. So,
Snapchat, really?
Yeah.
That's how they're going to defeat ISIS.
Right. President Selfie Stick is going to win the war on terror.
We're going to defeat one of the largest terrorist organizations ever And then we're going to counter that by using Snapchat. That's brilliant.
Yeah, counter their propaganda.
Well, I came in this morning and started going through the news cycle like always. One of the most interesting stories I thought was out today was an article up by Washington Times, the headline, ISIS Planning Nuclear Tsunami. And it said that a journalist, a German guy named Jürgen Todenhofer, spent 10 days with him. So I went in and I found some of his work, and he wrote a book called Inside IS, 10 Days Inside the Islamic State. And what this guy did is he found someone over there, contacted him, and said, hey, can I come over here? Can I, embed with you guys, see what's going on, try to give you guys some fair coverage? And so far, this has been the first Western journalist to embed with IS and not be killed. And he came back and wrote some really amazing stuff about this group. And in the article today, he says, the terrorists plan on killing several hundred million people. The West is drastically underestimating the power of ISIS. ISIS intends on getting its hand on nuclear weapons and preparing for the largest religious cleansing in history. And this is all because of an illegal war in Iraq that the Bush administration had us go do, one that I fell for after 9/11 and signed up and joined and went over there. It's crazy what's going on over there right now. People have to understand that these people over there hated the Taliban. They hated all these different groups of insurgents. And then the West came in and started dropping bombs and coming in and then taking over and, putting in curfews and all this stuff. Who are you then going to hate more? Are you going to hate the Taliban, Al-Qaeda? Are you going to hate the U.S. troops, the Western allies that are coming in and bombing, supposed to hitting these terrorist targets, but instead with collateral damage, taking out civilians, kids, mosques, right, schools, all this stuff. So we've created this. Now we have to deal with it.
And doesn't seem like we really are.
Well, I mean, everyone always wants to go, don't you mean CIA ISIS, Al-Qaeda ISIS, and I always hear that every time I post anything about it. Yeah, it's just like if you and I, if we had a child or something, and that child grows up at 18 years old, we can't control that kid anymore. It can do whatever it wants, move around, make its own decisions. It could be a doctor or it could be a mass murder. We can't control it. We created ISIS. It's now gotten to such a point that it's out of control, and they do have the capabilities to get nuclear weapons.
Right.
It's not
few
far beyond.
Lifting sanctions in the region, they're effectively creating an arms race, a nuclear arms race.
Exactly. And the thing is, we've gone and shown people time and time again that the borders of the South are wide open. I've gone over dressed up like an ISIS jihadi. I've walked over in civilian clothes. It is very possible for ISIS to come across bringing some sort of nuclear weapon and detonating at the southern border, some big city, who knows? But it's definitely a possibility, and people shouldn't ignore it whatsoever. It's not fear-mongering. It's us looking and going, all right, it's possible. Let's deal with it. Let's talk about it.
Well, so then we're creating all this aggression in the area. So what do you think about the fact that Judicial Watch obtained these documents revealing that the Obama administration gave as many as 1,519 terrorists asylum in the United States. There was a zero tolerance law in effect, and the federal government sort of waived it and created an exercise of authority. So it would allow someone to argue, I joined this terrorist group, or I propped up this terrorist group, or I did all of that criminal activity under duress. And then so the government can say, they don't pose a threat now. They're refugees. Bring them on in. And, of course, we're seeing that with this.
But if you see a soldier of a war who commits a crime under duress based off PTSD, he's thrown in jail. He's not given his insurance or anything like that, his health care. So that's completely out of control that we're going to allow these people come in. We already know that there's going to be ISIS throughout the country already. There's already sleeper cells. I mean,
that's what they
anybody
say.
Can sit down and say, all right, I want to be part of ISIS and completely just
had several people
transfer over.
Committing attacks and then saying that they did it on behalf of ISIS.
This is the thing. This is what people need to remember. Not the fact that ISIS can bring in nuclear weapons or gain nuclear abilities from other countries, like buying a bomb. We have missing nuclear weapons here in the country that are already here. Where are those at? Those, sleeper cells that are sitting around that are controlled by the government, how are they going to get access? If they all of a sudden get access to one in like New Hampshire or something like that, where did that come from? Did that really come from overseas? Or is that one missing from, South Carolina or Georgia, one of the nuclear depots or whatever?
Well, not to mention how easy it is to bring a nuclear weapon or something like that across the border in parts. It would be very simple to just bring supplies, means across the border.
Our country is clearly not ready to deal with this in the correct manner whatsoever. You know, they think you got Donald Trump out there saying, we're going to build a wall. We'll stop the immigrants.
We've seen the
they're
wall.
Trying to take our jobs. I mean, they're going to dig a tunnel on it. They're going to drive over it. They're going to cut it down with a acetylene gas torch, put it back up and weld it. I mean, we've got more things that we need to worry about from within that we need to fix. Our government is allowing this stuff to happen, and it continues to happen. And today, U.S. or Daily Mail exclusive revealed American jihadi is top ISIS commander. Yazidi slave reveals that she was beaten and held captive by U.S. citizen who directs attacks and keeps vial of poison to kill himself if he is caught.
Yeah.
Another piece of the puzzle to show our involvement in what's going on. This terror, the fact that the FBI is coming out all the time. Well, don't go out on the 4th of July. There might be a terrorist attack to try to keep you scared, to keep you in the state of fear every day from something that they created and allowed, just like with Whitey Bulger. Whitey Bulger was a bad guy, but the FBI allowed him to move freely and do that. And only until he got caught did they start coming out going, oh, no, he was actually an FBI informant to save face.
Right. Well, that's the whole order out of chaos. They're effectively creating all of this chaos. So then people go to the government, to the state, please protect us. Please help us. Please provide us with welfare. We can't feed our kids. We don't have any jobs. The economy is a wreck. Now there's terrorists everywhere. Please save us. And we're seeing it happen on a global scale. And now you're right. It's to the point now where we've created a monster. We can't control it anymore. There is no controlling of this. And this author talks about how ISIS has fanatic fans who are just wanting to join them. Hundreds a day are just clamoring to join this terrorist group. And of course, on the one hand, they're putting out really effective propaganda, telling people how great it is once you join caliphate. The Islamic State, their caliphate. And, you know, so the president, of course, is wanting to use Snapchat and HBO and all of these other means to counter all that propaganda and show
you've
the
got
reality
a lot of
it.
You've got a lot of people out here in the country who really think that the people overseas are a bunch of dumb cave dwellers who, you know, go around and hurdle, you know, farm sheep and all this stuff and goats and all this stuff. The times that I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, when we caught terrorists, these guys were doctors, chemists, physicists, things like this, who worked in universities in Pakistan and other countries. They weren't stupid people, very intelligent people. And his time over there, he said that the Islamic State is drenched in almost infectious enthusiasm and confident of victory. ISIS fighters are convinced that their totalitarian faith and administrative brutality will help them move mountains. Now, less than 400 ISIS fighters took out 25,000 Iraqi soldiers and militias despite their ultra-modern equipment.
Wow.
And they couldn't fight them because we funded ISIS with better equipment.
Right, and then they had to leave all of their military equipment behind, which, of course, then ISIS scoops up. And to them, they're probably thinking that that's, you know, an act of Allah or whatever that is protecting them. And so they're, you know, that's why they have these people, you know, just joining them fanatically, which is pretty frightening. Well,
definitely going to keep an eye on it.
Yeah. I don't think we have a choice in this matter. Well, thank you so much for joining me here tonight. And thank you all for watching the show. That's it for us. If you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to hit the subscribe button. And you can also become a subscriber to PrisonPlanet.tv. Your subscription there will get you instant access to over 18 years worth of content. It's all high def. You're not going to find it on YouTube. And of course, you can share your username and password with up to 20 people at the same time. And we definitely appreciate your support. So thank you so much. And we will see you here again tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central.
And all you ISIS people threatening us, hey, we're not a French newspaper, okay? We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches? This is Texas. You want to threaten me, you can go straight to hell. You understand that?
Never water yourself down just because someone can't handle you at 100 proof. It's the Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.